The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only.
Avril Flynn, a midwife and educator, is asking the questions in this episode.
You're very welcome to another episode of the Beat Podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined today by Dr. Julie Abayomi, who is a reader in dietetics and associate head in applied health and social care at Edgehill University. Julie graduated in nutrition and dietetics from Cardiff in 1993 and has worked as an NHS dietitian for over 20 years, specialising in women's health and nutrition for 12 years. Julie is an expert in the area of healthy eating during pregnancy and also has many research interests, including diabetes and breastfeeding and chronic radiation enteritis. And previous projects have included Fit for Birth, which was a longitudinal cohort study of obese women at Liverpool Women's Hospital, and two qualitative studies exploring the experiences of midwives and pregnant women regarding healthy eating and weight management advice during pregnancy. Julie, you're so welcome today.
Thank you, Avril. It's very nice to be here.
So today what we're covering is a really fascinating subject, and never more so at the moment in the 21st century, of weight gain and obesity during pregnancy. It can be quite a triggering aspect for both healthcare professionals and women, and be quite a difficult subject to broach because obviously there are a lot of feelings around eating and around obesity, and also the fact that we never want to shame mothers during pregnancy, but that reading some of your research, something I feel very passionate about, that pregnancy can be a time of real health optimization, as in it's a real for healthcare professionals, it's a real opportunity for us to see and meet with pregnant women and families, and I suppose guide them towards a healthier lifestyle. And of course, with obesity rates, you know, really in the last 10 to 20 years having increased so much, it is an ever-changing aspect of our practice. It's something that we need to look at. But for you, and in your opinion, how much of a problem is weight gain and obesity during pregnancy?
Well, you're right in saying that is increased dramatically in the last 10 to 20 years. And figures show that approximately 17% of women are booking in for antenatal care with a BMI that puts them in the obese category in the UK. But what's also increased significantly is the severity of obesity. So NICE are predicting that about 1 in 1,000 pregnancies in the UK, women have a BMI that is 50 or more. So we're seeing some really extreme levels of obesity in pregnancy now, which we haven't seen before.
And that provides a whole host of extra issues to be dealt with, not only in the pregnancy, but for in caring adequately for families like that. What are the possible consequences for both mum and baby?
Well, there can be some really significant consequences. So for the mother, a high BMI, women are much more likely to develop gestational diabetes or type 2 diabetes during pregnancy. They're much more likely to have high blood pressure, and they're much more likely to need a cesarean section. And then with a high BMI, they're much more likely to develop complications following the cesarean section.
So you really can have that kind of cacophony of issues all kind of stemming from one issue, which can be quite challenging for healthcare professionals. What are the current guidelines that HCPs should be aware of?
Well, this is a tricky one because in the UK, we don't have very specific guidelines for management of weight or obesity in pregnancy. So a lot of healthcare professionals refer to American guidelines. So this is particularly from the Institute of Medicine. So they give guidelines in terms of healthy weight gain according to pre-pregnancy BMI. So for women who are already in the obese classification at pre-pregnancy, so BMI of 30 or more, the American guidelines say that they should aim for a weight gain of between 5 to 9 kilos. But we've never really accepted these guidelines in the UK. And it's also worth pointing out that they were published in 2009. So a lot of the data is kind of based on before we had these extreme levels of obesity. And certainly for me as a dietitian, I would be quite uncomfortable looking after a woman with a BMI of 65, for example, and still advising her to gain 5 to 9 kilos in pregnancy. You know, it's already, she's at a very high risk with that BMI. So to then expect her to continue to gain weight through pregnancy doesn't kind of feel right to me.
And it is really challenging to have conversations about weight gain. I mean, it's an incredibly emotive topic, but if somebody is in that hugely obese category, it can be a very sensitive topic as well. And as I said in my intro, the last thing that we ever want to do is to shame women, rather to see it as an opportunity. How, no one wants to offend anyone, but what is the best practice in your experience and the best way in which to go about this or approach this with women?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that the NICE guidelines for antenatal care say that all women should be having a conversation with midwives about healthy eating in pregnancy. So I think that's a good place to start, because we're not singling people out. We're saying this is advice that all women need regardless of their BMI. And actually, if you look at some studies that have surveyed the diets of women in the UK of childbearing age, you know, there are lots of ways that diet needs to be improved. There are lots of important micronutrients that are really important for fetal development during pregnancy that women are not achieving in optimal amounts, regardless of their BMI. So I think, you know, there's lots of things that health professionals, particularly midwives, can focus on that is positive advice about this is what you can do. These are the things that, you know, you can include more of in your diet, and giving that advice to everyone rather than just people who fall into a particular BMI category.
So Julie, we've mentioned the micronutrients that are important, but which ones specifically and what amounts of same?
This is a really interesting question, Avril, because in the UK we have two supplements that are recommended in pregnancy. So vitamin D, we mentioned earlier, the UK government recommends that all pregnant and lactating women should be taking 10 micrograms of vitamin D every day. And the second supplement is for folic acid. So this is something that ideally women should be taking preconceptionally and then up to 12 weeks of gestation. And this has been shown to reduce the risk of neural tube defects such as spina bifida in pregnancy. But one of the interesting things about these supplements is that there is research emerging now that's showing that women who are have a higher BMI, particularly a BMI above 30, may require higher doses of both these supplements. So for women with pre-existing diabetes or a previous history of neural tube defects, and women with a BMI of 30 or more are now recommended to take 5 milligrams of folic acid, and this is often prescribed by GPs. And some of the more recent research has shown that for, again, women with a high BMI above 30, that they're probably requiring a higher dose of vitamin D of 20 micrograms per day rather than the 10 micrograms per day. And this has come from research that's been conducted at Ulster University. And very recently, Pregnacare, which make over-the-counter vitamin supplement that's very popular for pregnant women to take, they've just recently increased the dose of vitamin D in that brand from 10 micrograms to 20 micrograms to reflect the recent research.
In your view, how do midwives and health visitors better manage these conversations, though, in particular due to a short time frame? You've mentioned that looking at the more positives, but with women who are, you know, in particular risk, how do they approach that in a more kind of a multidisciplinary way?
Well, I mean, we've had some really interesting comments from the qualitative studies that I did with midwives and both with pregnant women. And it became very clear that actually the pregnant women want this information. You know, they if they're overweight, that doesn't come as a surprise to them. They know that they're overweight, and they want to have conversations about, with their healthcare professionals about what they can do to optimise their health during pregnancy. But equally, the conversations that we had with the midwives, they were very worried about causing offence. And they very often avoided these conversations completely because they just found it too difficult and so avoided talking about weight or healthy eating during pregnancy, particularly when women were overweight. But another important conversation, I suppose, was again focusing on the things that women can do. The women were telling us that the midwives very often gave them a list of things that they shouldn't be doing. So kind of don't eat this and don't eat that and, you know, limit your intake of certain foods. And so it, not only was it kind of the focus of the conversation was very much on kind of food hygiene rather than healthy eating, but it also came across in a very negative way because it was a list of things you shouldn't do. And the women were telling us that actually they would like a list of things that they should be doing or can be doing. So, you know, including more foods that are good sources of these key micronutrients that are important for fetal development. And that really kind of led us on to the conclusion that, you know, midwives don't have any training about nutrition or healthy eating. So to be able to have these positive conversations where they're promoting key micronutrients, we really need to upskill our midwives to have a deeper knowledge of nutrition.
I would totally agree. And also, you know, midwives are predominantly female in both the UK and in Ireland. And we too have our challenges with our own healthy eating. And certainly when you have shift patterns and heavy workloads, one of the first things that can fall down is your own attitude to eating. And I think personally and professionally, that can be a barrier to then having conversations with your clients and the women in your care. Because if you're not, you know, it's quite hard to do as I say and not as I do. Would you agree with that?
That actually was another theme that we discussed in the research, and it kind of went two ways. So there were a group of midwives who said, well, yes, I feel a bit of a hypocrite talking to women about healthy eating and weight because, you know, I'm overweight myself, I don't have a healthy diet myself, so I would actually feel a bit of a hypocrite having these conversations with women. But then other midwives were saying to us, well, actually, I think it, you know, it increases my empathy. You know, I've been there, I've done that, I've walked in their shoes, I know how difficult it is. So in lots of ways, I can kind of, you know, empathize and share my experiences with those women.
I was reading up on, and I found it fascinating, your healthy eating advice during pregnancy, lacking depth, the views of midwives and service users. I mean, that was a really fascinating bit, and it was printed just last year in Proceedings of the Nutrition Society. Really found it so interesting. What other work have you done with midwives and health visitors around this topic, kind of stemming from that research?
So because we found that, you know, from the research that midwives don't have this in-depth knowledge and don't have any training about nutrition, I'm now working with midwives to kind of improve their knowledge of nutrition. So the university that I'm currently based in, I'm teaching our midwives. They have a session on nutrition at each year of their programme, so first year, second year and third year. And I also deliver this to John Moores University midwives down the road and also midwives in Manchester. So they're getting some direct input into their undergraduate programme. But I've also worked quite closely with the Royal College of Midwives. I'm reviewing their online training for healthy eating and weight management advice during pregnancy. And this year they've asked me to write the nutrition chapter of the Mays Midwifery Handbook, which is a fantastic opportunity that it's not been written by a nutritionist before, which again is part of the problem because, you know, if you've got a midwife writing the nutrition chapter, it's again a very diluted version of nutrition. So hopefully, you know, I've been able to add some of that depth to the chapter now. And I've written it in very practical ways. So, you know, if this is the woman who's sitting in front of you in clinic and she's either overweight or she's underweight or she's vegetarian, these are the things you need to focus on in that conversation. So recognizing that, you know, midwives have limited time to have these conversations. So what are the key things they need to focus on for women in particular circumstances? And I think the new edition of the handbook is published next year. So hopefully that information will be available to student midwives, but also practicing midwives quite soon.
Well, first, huge congratulations on that. That is, and that's brilliant news as well that, you know, you as an expert in this field are being recognised as such, but also to disseminate that information to midwives and healthcare professionals is how we actually improve the situation.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, it was kind of recognising that gap and not in any way criticising midwives at all, because, you know, if you've not had any training or education in that area, how can you be expected to have those conversations? So that's my aim really, is to kind of, you know, support and work with midwives to kind of fill this gap.
And the improvements that we could have by a simple intervention of improving the level of nutrition advice are kind of, you know, I suppose, outstanding in the simplicity of it almost. That if we were just able to improve the quality of the information that we as healthcare professionals were providing, the health benefits for women and their babies are huge. Because obviously, if you have a mother eating better, then you're going to have the children eating better as well.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the risks of, you know, being overweight in pregnancy and gaining too much weight is that it kind of continues into the next generation then. And, you know, there's increased risk of having a large for gestational age baby, and that baby could then have an increased risk of obesity throughout their life cycle. But if you look at the evidence for risks of obesity in childhood, it's not only obesity in pregnancy and excessive gestational weight gain that lead to those risks. Also, deficiency of key micronutrients adds to that risk as well. So I think it's very important, you know, that we're not just focusing on calories and weight gain, but that overall quality of diet. And that's why it's important that midwives are having these conversations with all women, not just the women who are overweight. It's quite interesting from the research that a lot of midwives presume that, you know, if women have a BMI in the healthy category between kind of 20 and 25, they don't need to have those conversations because they presume they're already having a healthy diet. But actually the two don't go hand in hand. And there could be lots of women with a normal BMI who are actually having quite a poor quality diet that's deficient in some of these key micronutrients. So that's why they need to have these conversations with all women.
And that whole idea of just saying, you know, you should eat more healthily it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense to a lot of people, because what does that actually mean in a practical sense for both the midwife delivering the information and for the women and their family who are receiving it?
Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of research as well that show that women are much more motivated during pregnancy. They're much more willing to listen to healthy eating messages, particularly if it's about the health of the baby. So if we're focusing on these key micronutrients and saying, you know, these are really important for the health and development of your unborn baby, and that's important to everybody, regardless of their BMI, then, you know, the focus is on the health of the baby.
And again, to focus on that, really, we have such an opportunity for health optimization. So we as HCPs should be grabbing it with both arms and making the absolute best of it. And we would all be better off for it. In your opinion, what are the best resources or places to advise a mum to look at for healthcare professionals to access?
So the British Dietetic Association have some really good resources. So they do food fact sheets, which are available on the website and they're free to download. They have some really good resources, and I'm part of the BDA Maternal and Fertility Nutrition Group. So we recently updated the pregnancy fact sheet that's now available on the website. But they also have fact sheets on vegetarian diets, for example. So, you know, if midwives have a woman who's on a vegetarian diet and they're not quite sure what the guidelines are for following a vegetarian diet in pregnancy, we've got that information available. There's also, you know, fact files on particular nutrients. So you mentioned vitamin D before. Somebody wanted to know more about vitamin D and why that's important. Again, there's a fact file for vitamin D. So, and all of these fact files are on the website, are written by the experts. So, you know, if we've got dietitians who particularly have expertise in vitamin D, they're the ones who've written that particular fact file. So they're really useful. There's also information on the British Nutrition Foundation website, and Tommy's, the baby charity as well. They produce some really useful information about healthy eating in pregnancy and weight gain in pregnancy.
Thank you so much, Julie. That has been an absolutely fascinating insight into your work. I very much look forward to reading your upcoming chapter in May's Congratulations again. And thank you so much for your time today. I'm sure that anybody listening will have been able to take a few really interesting nuggets that they can bring to their own practice. And hopefully, as we aim to on the beat, disseminate important information and improve and optimize people's health. Thank you so much, Julie.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk.